Larry Richard with Anchorman Paul Rasmussen. I really enjoy the hour we spend with Rich Fitzgerald. You really learn a lot about the region, which is the whole purpose. And he's really tuned into what's going on. And we mentioned, Paul, that Monroeville Mall is up for sale. But that's not the only iconic thing that's commercial real estate related. From the Pittsburgh Business Times, we have Tim Schooley. Tim, good morning.
Good morning to you, Larry. How are you?
Good. You're immersed in these conversations right now. Well, let's start with the Monroeville Mall. It seemed to me like, and how many acres did you say, Paul?
Well, we're talking gigantic. It's 187 acres.
That's a large property. So why is it up for sale? Aren't they doing well?
That's an open question. The company did not respond to me. It's a publicly traded company that's owned it for 20 years, paid more than $230 million for it originally. And timing is an important factor in putting a property like that up for sale because it's highly unlikely. I mean, the chances of them getting anywhere near that seems like that would be a big lift.
Yeah, there are great challenges, as we know, just the market upswings and downturns in this process. So Monroeville Mall is up for sale. What about Station Square? Because that has had, you know, that used to be the go-to place, but they, as of recent years, especially post-COVID, have really struggled.
Well, yeah, we just posted a few minutes ago that the ownership of Station Square has now had a foreclosure filing against it. That other company called Brookfield Properties. It's a huge company, has major resources, but they have a debt balance of $140 million on it now, and that is would help to explain why they've been losing restaurants of late, I would think, although I'm sure there's other factors.
Tim, Paul Rasmussen here. I'm curious to know what's the footprint of Station Square? What does it encompass? Does it, for example, include the Grand Concourse building?
Yeah, the foreclosure is actually filed against three different ownership entities, but the entirety of the complex is 660,000 square feet. It's 54 acres. It includes Bessemer Court, the Landmarks building, the Freight House shops, and the Commerce Court office component. So it's a big piece of property. It's obviously been a key one here for a long, long time.
Yeah, and with Highmark Stadium and the big interest in soccer, you know, the Riverhounds and the other things, of being right across from the city and the stadiums, that it still has to have an attractive value for someone that can kind of reimagine how to redevelop parts of that. And I know they've tried. In the meantime, then we find Gateway Center downtown is up for sale. Is that correct?
It's not up for sale, but it's actually facing a bondholder. A court in the British Virgin Islands has ruled that to liquidate the asset. So the big question, and that certainly is suggestive of the sale, but the big question is whether that court in the British Islands and the bondholders, or in Israel, actually, will have standing over the foreclosure that's been filed by the major lenders, which are giant banks in New York. So that's what still has to be determined, is the debtor standing in that. But by the decision that was made out of the British Virgin Islands, it's very curious that something like that would happen from there. It's supposed to be liquidated. We'll just have to see if that actually happens.
In a case of a liquidation like this, would that be the responsibility of Hertz Investment Properties, the operators of Gateway Center, to hold what would amount to a liquidation auction, I guess?
They were expected to appoint a trustee to oversee that. So I don't think that Hertz would do it directly. But the process of that would probably be done by a third party.
And we're with Tim Schooley from the Pittsburgh Business Times. Tim, what else is on the radar while we have you that you've been looking into?
It's only Wednesday, Larry, and that's the stores and feels like Friday. So I have to restock a little bit, but there's a lot going on, and the fallout from the commercial real estate devaluation is going to make 2025 an interesting year for sure.
And I know they're trying to figure out how to repurpose that commercial real estate that's not being rented, you know, leased in downtown Pittsburgh, otherwise trying to get more people to move in. That said, the biggest development is Esplanade, as you know, on the Ohio River around the corner from Rivers Casino. And now some of the residents on the north side are saying, hey, wait a minute, what do you hear about that?
Yeah, and there's always going to be some residents for any project of that scale who are going to have concerns. I know that there's a new community organization over there that has come together in part to express that kind of thing. But when the project was approved not that long ago, that organization got up and gave its blessing and said, "Yeah, we're in approval of this." So where that kind of dissension can go from here is anybody's guess.
Read all about it, the Pittsburgh Business Times. Tim Schooley, appreciate you coming on this morning. And if I don't get a chance to talk to you, have a great holiday and a happy new year.
To you as well. I appreciate it.
So there you have it, Paul. A lot going on.
Yeah, a lot of developments right now at Station Square. We've had the recent closing now of two restaurants, including the Hard Rock Cafe most recently, Buca di Beppo before that.
You just wanted to say Buca di Beppo.
You're right.
And the Hard Rock. Yeah, I kind of liked that place. It was cool. But
20-some years they've been there.
Well, times are a-changing. There's the one constant in life is change. I don't know if you noticed that. So if you can't handle change, you can't handle the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do you remember a time, we were both in high school at this time, when Cheech and Chong were releasing albums and,
right,
you know, we'd have to rush to the record store and grab the album. That and George Carlin.
Yeah.
You know, and then lay around in the basement and laugh like heck.
I actually interviewed Tommy Chong after he got out of federal prison. He was busted in Pennsylvania for having a bong or something. And I'm thinking, now in this day and age, if you go back to talk to those old stoners about where we are now, I mean, we talked to yesterday Gina Wenzel, who's the co-founder of Plant Media Foundation.
I mean, how things have changed. The conversation nationally has completely 180'd.
Right. And she said, and this struck me, 25 states have approved and legalized adult use cannabis. Notice how semantics, you know, you don't recreational marijuana, it's adult use cannabis. Well, sounds more responsible, doesn't it, Aaron?
For sure.
When Sean got caught with a bong, it was the devil's weed at that time.
Oh, the burning of the devil's lettuce.
I thought it was crazy that she pinpointed how we could use the money for so many things.
I mean, that obviously they've done their homework. And that,
right,
you know, this has been going on for decades now.
So we'll see now that they're trying to pass legislation in Harrisburg to legalize recreational marijuana. They've tried time and time again and failed. Maybe this time around they'll succeed.
In the late 30s, they came up with Reefer Madness, and that started the whole thing. It's actually a fascinating history. But anyway, the Chong movie's in, and so is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Come on, man. This is the Big K Morning Show. I'm Larry Richard, and every other Wednesday at this time, we check in with President and CEO of the Urban League of Greater Pittsburgh, Carlos T. Carter. Carlos, good morning. Carlos?
Hey, can you hear me?
I got you now. We're good to go.
Perfect. Awesome. How are you? I'm good.
I'm good. By the way, full disclosure, tonight, Carlos, who apparently, and I've heard this, has quite a voice, is going to be participating in our Odyssey Pittsburgh celebrity Christmas karaoke on the North Shore at Mike's Beer Bar right next to PNC Park. And this is to help Light of Life Rescue Mission, brought to you by Monster Brewing High Life. But Carlos, have you selected your number for tonight's performance?
I am. No Frank Sinatra, unfortunately, because since it's Christmas, I'm going to do Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. And I'm no celebrity, but I'm there among celebrities. How's that?
Wait a minute. I think Frank Sinatra did do a version of that song.
I know. I don't know. Well, I could probably do it. I heard it. I kind of do the Bing Crosby version, but with a little smooth soul. So I think people will like it.
Yep, maybe I could join you and do the David Bowie part with Bing Crosby.
Bring it on. I think we can bring it on. I think I'm pretty flexible, and I'm sure you're a talented man, so we'll leverage your talents.
Well, that, again, is tonight, and we appreciate your participation. It should be a lot of fun. That said,
yes.
While we're having fun, a lot of people struggle during the holidays.
That's true. You know, I had a couple people kind of express those sentiments to me. I was at the gym, and one woman recently lost her dad, and she was saying how she's struggling. I had one woman, actually in our senior job program, I had sung a Christmas song, and she told me it made her cry. And she told me she lost her husband, you know, this year, and just like how it's tough. And so I think that we do have to be sensitive that there are hard holiday blues, you know, which are pretty much temporary feelings of sadness, anxiety, or depression during the holiday season.
Yeah, so what do you tell folks? I mean, how do you help them work through it?
Well, I think there are a number of ways. I think, you know, first of all, we have to let go of perfection. I think a lot of times during the holidays, we have this Christmas card version of the holidays and realize everything isn't perfect. I think, you know, people are really pressured to buy all these gifts, and everybody doesn't have the means, right? And we know so many people go into debt. So really setting realistic expectations in terms of what you can do. I think, you know, being okay with setting new traditions. I know, you know, when we lose loved ones, you know, they're a big part of our holiday, and thinking like, how can we do things differently and still keep them in mind, and knowing that it's okay, right? As I said earlier, you can't do everything. I think we need to check on our friends and family members and make sure they're okay, because everybody isn't so jolly during the holiday season for different reasons. And so we need to check on folks. And I think, and if we are experiencing these feelings, reach out to friends and family and share your feelings. And don't be afraid to reach out to a counselor or a hotline for support. There's Resolve Crisis. Their number is 1-888-796-8226. Again, Resolve Crisis, 1-888-796-8226.
And one of the things that I think a lot of people find comfort and joy is helping other people while you may be experiencing the blues or feeling down. By reaching out and helping the less fortunate, that always lifts people's spirits both ways.
I think that's powerful. I agree with that, because I believe no pain is wasted. We all face situations, but when you lose yourself in helping others, it does uplift us. I think, you know, as a society, a lot of times we can be very self-serving, but I do believe serving others is when you're truly elevated. You're elevating the person. I love how it says better to give than to receive. And so, you know, when you're giving to others, it is so fulfilling. You know, even giving can be a very selfish thing, because it feels so good, right, to help somebody else at the same time it blesses someone else. So I found that principle personally and, you know, just observed to be very, very powerful and very necessary. And even, you know, just talking to a woman during our Thanksgiving celebration, where we Thanksgiving giveaway where we gave out fed 1,000 families, there was a woman there who told me that her money had been stolen for Thanksgiving, and she was glad, and I reached out to her, and she sent me a personal note yesterday telling me thank you for hugging me and, you know, expressing concern. So that means a lot to people than just a tangible gift. Let them know they're not alone, that you care. And I think that it's important that we be intentional with that. It can be transformational for people and bring more, you know, cheer in their holiday and in their life in general.
That said, we're looking forward to a new year, and you have goals and expectations for the Urban League. What's on the agenda for the coming year?
Oh, man, a lot. So I think one thing we're looking to hopefully finalize our new location. Just want a location that's just really could facilitate the work we do, more modern, and really more inspiring for our staff and bring us together. I think that's a big thing. Always a lot of fundraising things. So if people are looking to give, please consider Urban League. We definitely need to support on ulpgh.org. And really building out our tech. You know, we do a lot with tech. I think really trying to get blacks and other marginalized communities into tech, and so really going harder with that, and really, because that's important from, you know, moving people to economic sustainability, you know, is important, because so many people in our community are in the service sector, which doesn't pay well. We need more people taking advantage of this tech boom in Pittsburgh. It can be awesome to really addressing wealth gaps and things like that. So I could go on. There are so many things that have gone on, but those are some things that are important to me and us.
Well, great information. Good luck in the new year. And tonight at Christmas Karaoke, Mike's Beer Bar in the North Shore, should be a lot of fun. We've got all five of our Odyssey Pittsburgh stations, including 93.7 The Fan, Y108 Country, 107 Star Contemporary Music, and WAMO, Hip Hop and R&B, featuring Carlos T. Carter.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Nice. All right, Carlos, we'll check you later.
See you.
Thank you.
All right, bye. Thank you.
Later this afternoon, check out our Drive at 5 stories driving the news every day, the Colin Dunlap Show. Weekdays brought to you by ServiceMaster of Greater Pittsburgh. When disaster strikes, demand the yellow van. A lot of people very curious about these drones. I saw so much on social media last night, and a lot of it was totally bogus, to be honest with you, including one of the Star Wars starfighters on a flatbed that they said that they had captured. There have been lots of rumors, extraterrestrials, foreign governments, but these giant drones that are the size of small cars, some 8 feet spans, wingspans, continue to be spotted. Now we're seeing more and more videos. Just be careful what you digest. It's not all true.
Absolutely, Larry. That's a good way to put it. So we've just received a sound report from CBS about this. Tom Hansen reporting the Biden administration is insisting that most of the thousands of reported drone sightings have turned out to be nothing.
During rush hour, there's an increase of cars on the roads. And similarly, there can be upticks in drone activity.
We met up with the Monmouth County Sheriff's Office.
The some concern are the visual confirmed sites by military and first responders. The bigger concern over that is we don't have any identification on any of it.
Federal security agencies say they have deployed drone detection technology to assist local agencies as the mystery about what's up in the sky continues.
Now, the president made some comments about this, Larry, yesterday. He said, this is all quoted material. He said, there's a lot of drones authorized up there. I think one started it, and everybody wanted to get in the deal. So the copycat theory there.
Yeah, and again, I'm looking at these drones, and I laughed to myself because people said, do you see that? And I'm like, this is totally bogus, the stuff you're showing me. Now, it might not all be, but it's hard to separate what is and what isn't real.
Well, the FBI, the FAA, and the Pentagon, along with the Department of Homeland Security, released a joint statement about this on Monday and said that there was little reason for concern. And here's the key paragraph. It said, we assess the sightings to date include a combination of lawful commercial drones, hobbyist drones, law enforcement drones, and manned fixed-wing aircraft mistaken for drones, along with helicopters, even perhaps STARS mistaken as drones.
And locally, the concern is a medical helicopter mistaken for a drone. People do not fire weapons at things in the sky, especially if they're unidentified.
Yeah, I know the feds have received more than 5,000 tips, and they have found information warranting further investigation in only 100 of those cases. 100 out of 5,000. So that says to me that there's some hysteria here, or the people look up and they see what they want to see instead of what they're seeing, right?
That said, I would love to get the real answer, as everybody else would.
Yeah.
What exactly are we dealing with here? If the federal government says they don't seem worried about it, then just tell us, what is it? What are they? Who's behind it? What's doing it? Is it you? Because you got a lot of people anxious over this for no reason. If you do know and it, you're not worried about it, then just tell us. How about that theory?
Works for me.
Meanwhile, coming up, details of what has become a potentially... this is the fourth straight year that Pitt Volleyball has been in the Final Four. Tomorrow night at 6:30, the Lady Panthers they're already in Louisville. They will face the Cardinals, and Nebraska and Penn State will play, and the winner of those two will vie for the national championship on Saturday.
No, that'll be Sunday, actually.
or Sunday?
Sunday at 3. And wouldn't that be amazing? And I was talking with PJ Comanchik about the possibility of these two teams winding up, Penn State and Pitt, playing for the national title. And it occurred to me while we were talking, think about this, Larry. This is exactly the kind of scenario that people had in mind when they created Title IX.
Yeah.
And look where we're at today now. The excitement, you know, the attention that
women's
it's drawing.
Basketball,
yep.
And now women's volleyball that has been raised, you know, the attention across the country has been pretty remarkable. It's starting to make network TV. So it'll be a great weekend. So good luck to the Panthers and the Nittany Lion ladies. And wouldn't it be fun if they played each other?